that your hand is on this meeting. We want to acknowledge that the church has transitioned in multiples of ways, and this is certainly one of them. Do we understand the fullness of it? Truthfully, I don't. But I'm very grateful that we can connect. I want to honor John and Ann for letting us use the facilities that they have paid for. I want to acknowledge each and every one of you for making a way where there was no way. Also, for connecting Canada to us for the feast, but now for a Sunday morning. This is very special. And I want to honor Ron and his wife because they had to go out and buy things that they probably challenged in their hearts to go forward with something new. Lord, I'm grateful that you preceded for me a press back in November to get this material and equipment that we could have this happening, where I would have had at least a little tiny bit of basic training before we go forward. I give you praise, Lord Jesus. I give you praise. I don't understand the fullness, but I understand one thing. You are eager to make the house of prayer for all nations connected to all nations. Not only connected, but feeding the nations, the ones that you choose to connect us to. And now we're connected from coast to coast. We're just blessed that Leah was able to connect again this week. And we're looking for more, that you will join us to the men and women, boys and girls, elders, all those that are searching for a connection to the Holy Spirit to magnify his plan in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
I got very excited last night because most of you know that quite a few years ago when I started to see Massachusetts going into a place that was going to allow all kinds of, let's say, new strategies for those that, let's say, are living a different lifestyle and crying out to the Lord, why are you letting this happen, Lord? And I was concerned because of all the traditions were being stepped on and new understandings were shaping words into a strategy for the enemy. And I cried out to the Lord several days. I really wasn't waiting for an answer. I was just raging in my heart, seeing what was going on and knowing how upside down this was. And then the Lord said, I already prophesied that it would be as in the days of Noah. Well, I've held on to that because that was over 20 years. But last night, I was listening to a video, and it was Jim Gall. James Gall was a very good friend of John Paul Jackson. I got to meet him in Kansas City, Missouri, back in 93, and I think again in 96. I remember the very first time that I got to meet him. He was used of the Lord to unlock a dream and a vision that I had had. And I had been asking the Holy Spirit for the interpretation for about 3 years. And when you're waiting for 3 years to get an interpretation, because it's constantly foggy, not that I didn't hear what the Lord was saying, I didn't understand what it meant for me. Long story short, he's on a program last night. And what does he declare? that we're living in the days of Noah. And he confesses that every time he hears, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be, he was also on the negative side of it. Well, my ears perked up because that's where I was and that's where I've been. But that doesn't mean that I need to remain where I was or where I've been. Agreed? Agreed? All right. So here is what he said. He is very concerned about this infection, this disease, etc., what it's doing. But he knows this is the Lord's doing. Of course, my ears perked up because that's the scripture we've been using. Then he said, awaken to the truth by the Holy Ghost in the middle of the night. If I remember correctly, the Holy Spirit said to him, you don't get it. The days of Noah were awesome days. Now, my literal, awesome days. Well, just think about this, because he didn't go into this detail, but my head immediately went there. People were living 800 years. People weren't dying of all kinds of diseases and sicknesses. They had the fullness of the revelation of Adam and Eve without a book. They were in luxury of every type, but they had lost the righteousness. And if you look at the pattern of the Holy Spirit, for the past 2,000 years, he's been trying to make us see what we have lost will be restored and recreated as needed. Now that brought the lights on. Then he quoted one of my favorite scriptures, which was Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. So if you want to just take a peek at Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, well, let's back it up to one. At that time, Michael, the great prince, who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations. Notice the word, nations. So God is actually saying he's going to deal with nations at the end. From the beginning of time, right? Distress. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, well, obviously it's a book of life, will be delivered. That's a prophetic word that he's working on each of us. And you and I all know that he's delivering each of and every one of us. He's bringing us to a place of submission and humility that we don't understand, but he's looking for us to be set free from all of the darkness that has plagued us. Verse 2, multitude who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life and others to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3 is yours and mine. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heaven, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge, etc. You see, you can keep on reading, but I want to concentrate on verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Now, just before we go any further, for me, that was my beginnings of studying the word of the Lord. I would sit upstairs from this room with my youngest son, and we would study the scriptures on Sunday afternoon. And one of my favorite books was Daniel and the book of Revelation. So Gary and I would go over these scriptures. Unbeknownst to us, for years, my wife would peek at what we had studied the day before on a Monday. She would check out what we were involved in. So even those of you who sneak, try to find what others are looking at, God honors that. God loves it. But to remember what those words mean, unless you've had an opening of your eyes, it's just words on a page. So one of the things that I cried out, I would say about 30 years ago, I want to see that light, Lord. I want to see it with my eyes. I want to see it, and I don't want to wait much longer. So I cried out to the Lord. And you've heard me speak about the Shekinah glory. But this one night, I walked into the service on a Wednesday night at Grace, sat down, and I noticed my eyes were starting to dilate, because you can feel the dilation when the cloud is removed or the veil is removed, whatever you want to call it. And I could feel it, and as I could feel it, I would increase my tongues. And as I did, I began to see my pastor's arms, and they were no longer with cloth on them. And I could see the upper part of his chest, because he was standing behind the pulpit, and I could see his face, and it began to radiate light. And it pulsated a little bit. But I don't know if that's because my eyes were playing tricks. All I know is, he was no longer just the natural man. I could see his spirit radiating through his garments. You say, well, why hasn't that happened to me? I think it's because he's maybe just waiting for you to get real serious and not to let up if it hasn't happened yet. So when that happened, when I went back in my office and started to pray, obviously Daniel 12:3 came to light. And I remembered what I had asked for. So some of you might be discouraged because it didn't happen yet. I really think the Holy Ghost likes to set me and you up so that we can get so demanding that we will not give up and keep asking for the Lord to make it happen. And he will. See, he's no respecter of persons. So he will do it. But the timing is really up to him and for you to keep knocking, not to give up. So now I was looking at this and I said, Lord, what does that have to do with today? He said, the vision that I gave you was to give you a foretaste of the future and an understanding that you could teach from experience. You see, I could teach you out of a book and say, this is what's supposed to happen, but because of his grace, I lived it. I lived it more than once. Because it happened more than once. More than once did I see the pastor's arm and hand go up in the air, and I would lose the garment and I would see light. It looked a little bit like an X-ray without the blackness. Why am I saying that to you? Because that's your future. He wants to radiate through you and I the fullness of his plan. You see, in Matthew chapter 17, I'm going off course right now. Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. Notice it's 6 days. That's 6,000 years in prophetic words, prophetic timing. The brother of James and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was, transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," which obviously describes the Feast of Tabernacles. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." You see, they experienced something, but they were what? Terrified. Right now, the world is under an anointing of terror. Unless you know something is being worked on behind the scenes. Verse 7, but Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Do not be afraid," or "don't be afraid." When he looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking about John the Baptist. Now, to go and give a little piece of wisdom here. Are we at the end of those 6,000 years? I believe we are. I believe we've entered the kingdom age a while back. I believe that the Holy Spirit is preparing a major, major event, just like we've just been through a major event. You see, when the last Passover that happened, where a nation was involved, was back in Pharaoh's day. And we talked about that in Exodus. It's happened again. I believe 184 nations have had to put everything aside and gather themselves together under their home roof. Tabernacle. When you see this as a move of God to the nations, he's really saying, I'm calling you forth. I believe that what God did in the days of Moses and Pharaoh, he's doing today. So what does that have to do about tomorrow? Well, the next feast is coming. It happens to be Pentecost. Could it be, and I say this with reverence and awe, could it be that he's going to pour out his spirit on all nations? Could it be that he's going to impact the unbelievers in ways that he did back in the book of Acts? Could it be that he's going to shake everybody's tree where they're going to say, oh my God, look what you have allowed? Some people are looking at this as the end of the age. I think we need to change it. I think we need to look at it as the beginning of the new age. The Holy Ghost age. The place where they will be impacted by the Holy Spirit and their unbelief and their sleepy thought patterns will be dealt with by the Lord. Like my brother said, when they say the name of Jesus, they usually shut the door or they run away. When I prayed with my mailman, he gave me a hug. It says a lot. He says, I'm looking forward to see you again. And I said, yes. And I gave him a little card. And I said, you can connect if you want. And he was blessed. So is he a secret lover of the Lord? Maybe. Was it an opportunity from the Lord? Yes, it was. Are there going to be seconds and thirds? Yes, there will be. You see, I believe the Lord is changing and he had us remove the walls of cement. A few weeks back, under the direction of the Holy Ghost, some of you took spiritual sledgehammers and you chopped down the walls and you didn't understand what would be next. I'm giving you an option right now. Look up. Your deliverance draws nigh. Your reality is being changed and altered through no fault or demand of your own. I believe Holy Spirit's got his angels ready. And those angels are waiting for your mouth to open under the anointing of the Most High God. And when your mouth opens, they will activate on what you declare. One of the issues that I find that deals with the unbeliever is death. When you have someone that you really love or have a deep relationship with, literally passes on, it makes you question where you're going and what's going to happen when you leave this body. And it shakes the person. We've got hundreds of thousands of families right now that can't even deal with the dead bodies that are unable to be cared for because of the magnitude of deaths that are happening, especially like cities in New York and different parts of the country. You see, they're not thinking of the resurrection, but they should be. We should not be thinking just of the death aspect. We should be looking at the resurrection because the resurrection came out of the grave. We celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Is it to be celebrated and then forgotten? Or are we waiting for our eyes to be opened so that we can see that we are men and women of light, that we radiate light, And every time the light irritates darkness, we wonder what happened to us. It's normal. Darkness does not like the light. If you have a room full of darkness and there's all kinds of bugs, the minute you turn the lights on, let me show you in your mental eye. Think about how many ants, how many little critters literally run to the corners for cover because their comfort is in darkness. Spirits of darkness enjoy darkness. They don't like the light on them. As soon as you put the light on, they're going to scurry and they're going to run for cover. Why am I telling you all this? Because I do believe that we're entering a new phase of life, a new era. Some people call it a new whatever. It's not important what the title is. It's important that it's something new. And I believe it's uncharted. And there is much more going on. Because I would like to just kind of ruffle some feathers right now. In Matthew chapter 13. So if you'll take your time there and go to Matthew 13. It says it's the parable of the sower. And kind of briefly plow through where he speaks about sowing. And in verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them." That gives you an understanding of why you can talk till the cows come home to somebody that doesn't know the Lord or mentions the name of Jesus, and they literally would like to just make you disappear because you irritated them. 12, verse 12. "Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parable. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." When I was reading about Daniel, when I was in my 30s, I didn't understand. When I was in my late 50s, he opened my eyes so I could see. It was no longer a figment of a question. It was a reality for me. But it took years for the eyes to get open. 14. "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding." So he's speaking here about the Jews who were designed by God to have a hardened heart. "You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." Why? Because they've never seen and never asked to see. "Otherwise, they might see and with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Blessed are your eyes because they see." That should be my prayer and your prayer. "And your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it. To hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. So here comes the understanding. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who receives the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the words and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes it, makes it unfruitful. But the one who receives the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times what was sown. You say, well, that's quite interesting because I seem to talk for nothing. Some, I put a couple of seeds in and it takes 6 months to a year before I see any kind of reaction. I can tell you this, some hearts are hard. Just don't give up on them. Verse 24 says, Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sows good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, when the weeds also appeared, the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seeds in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy came did this," he replied. The servant asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest." There's a major word right there. Until the harvest. Many of the prophetic voices are saying it's harvest time. Very shortly. "At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned." If you don't have an underline on that scripture, you should. It says clearly, first, collect the weeds. Tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat, bring it into my barn. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, and it goes on. I want to skip to verse 30. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Again, that should be underlined. Weeds in the field. He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world." He didn't say Jerusalem. The field is the world. The good seed stands for the sons of the king or the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. Is that clear? And the harvesters are angels. Say amen. The harvesters are angels. 40. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. He doesn't say might be. He says it will be. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin. That means everything that causes sin is being dealt with. And all who do evil are included. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And if you've got ears, listen up. That's my version. 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he did it again, and then his joy went and sold all that he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had and bought it. And I could go on. I believe the Holy Spirit was pressuring me to have you see what's coming at the end of this is a restoration. A restoration so huge that our mind has a hard time to comprehend it. Keeping in mind that when the kingdom is reestablished, the earth is going to flourish. Keeping in mind that there was a day in Noah's time when it never rained. Miraculously, the earth was being taken care of in a very special way. You see, I truly believe that right now we are all being prepared, just like Noah, and we're watching. And some of us don't like what we're seeing because it's actually visibly showing up among those that we watch and act and react with, how they don't want to hear about the God that brings any kind of adjustment in men and women of today. They don't want to be held accountable. They don't want to change their ways. And I'm not saying they can change their ways. I am saying if they would cry out to the Lord and ask for help, He would clean them up just like he's cleaning us up. I do believe that there's going to be a mighty move of God. It may not be coming the way that you and I would like it to come, but I truly do believe that you are being prepared to shine, to radiate light, to irritate the darkness in many people. And when you do, words of grace and favor will pour out of you, and the message of salvation will be coming out of you, maybe in different ways for different people, maybe multiples of times for the same person, because they're so tied up in the world and in their emotions that they can't see straight. But he picked me up where I was, and he's picked you up where you were. So if you'll bow your head, Holy Spirit, I'm asking now for revelation to be confirming this message to each and everyone that's listening, that it will break the unbelief, that it will shatter the expectations of only darkness at the end of this tunnel. Father, I believe that you're going to repair those that are broken. You're going to heal those that need healing. You're going to recreate what needs to be recreated and prepare them for the resurrection that is going to happen. It will manifest. This word will not return void, but it will produce a mighty hunger for the things of God and the family of God. I remind the Lord of Acts 16:31. The entire household is being brought to salvation because of the grace and favor of our Father. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say amen with your hand? All right. That's all I got, kids.